by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to In Your Backyard. My name is Teresa Watkins, and I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author, environmental consultant. I love to put it all together for listeners and for Central Florida, just to you can have a beautiful backyard and a front yard, side yard. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to In Your Backyard. And I'd like to give a big shout out to the Orlando Garden Club. We had a wonderful program last week, and I got to meet a lot of great gardeners. And so a big shout out to them. If you would like to become a member of a garden club, check out your local city directory or the website of the Florida Federation of Garden Clubs. These are great organizations to belong to. They have a lot of fun, take up a lot of interesting projects and DIY. You learn a lot of information about how to garden in your own backyard. So, you know, join a garden club. They are lots of fun. Also, too, this Saturday, I am going to be speaking at the 14th Sweetwater Oaks Garden Club Garden Fair, which is going to be held in Longwood at the Protegrity Plaza, and that's at 260 Wakiva Springs Road in Longwood. There's going to be a lot of great speakers there. There's going to be Robert Bowden, Tom McCubbin, Jim Doobie, Mark Miller, Bob Hodling, and then Nate Grafhoff. And they're all going to be talking about different topics in gardening and landscaping. My topic is going to be about roses in the garden. So if you would like to come, it's going to be March 2nd and March 3rd from 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Come rain, come shine. I think it should be shiny. The hours are from 10 o'clock to 4 p.m. There's going to be a lot of great vendors, over 100 different booths that you can buy plants from. There's going to be educational booths. There's going to be floral design demonstrations. There's going to be a food court and even something for the children. There's going to be hands-on activities. So that's the 14th annual Sweetwater Oaks Garden Club Garden Fair, which is always great fun. And that is in Longwood on Wakiva Springs Road in Protegrity Plaza. And I'll let you know again at the end of the show where it is again to remind you, because it's such a great one. You have lots of plants to buy. This is the time of the year we should be planting lots of beautiful flowers, ground covers, even turf. All right, so this is the time of the year you can go ahead. You can plant it by plugs, sod, and even seed. Now, bahia is better done in sod and seeds, okay? But everything else can kind of go in plugs. You can buy plugs of it. It's just going to take a little bit longer to fill in. So it's just you want to be careful. Watering. I was asked about watering a new lawn last week. So here is the timing. You're going to get told that you can water it once a day, and this is the law, most cities, that you can water new turf once a day for 30 days. And some cities even have it for 60 days. Okay, you don't want to do that. If you water every day for 30 days, then your root system is still going to be short, and it's going to experience stress when you have to go to watering only once a week after that 30 days. Okay, so here's what you do. You water once a day for the first week, 1-1. Okay, very easy to remember. You want to apply 1 inch of water when you do that application. Okay, so 1 inch of water once a day for a whole week. The second week, you want to water every 2 days. That 1 inch of water every 2 days the second week. Okay, 2-2-1. The third week, you want to water every 3 days the third week. And each time you reduce the amount of water, you're going to be pushing those roots down deeper. Okay, those roots down deeper is what's going to make it established. All right, if you water it once a day for 30 days, that root is never going to go anywhere. It's going to get spoiled, and you're going to see stress and decline when you stop watering. Okay, then the fourth week, the last of the 30 days, you're going to water once every 3 to 4 days, okay, for the schedule. Now, that's this time of the year, I would go ahead and water it twice the last week, okay? Once every 3 to 4 days. Then you're on that schedule of once a week watering, okay? So when we jump ahead to the summer schedule, and I don't know when that is. I've got to look that up. When we spring ahead, we change the clocks 1 hour. You're going to get to go to twice a week watering. Now, this is also, you don't need to fertilize new lawns until you've mowed it 3 times. They already come with great nutrition when you're planting sod. You can also put down a root stimulant when you apply the install the sod. But you don't need to fertilize it for up till 3 times. After you've mowed it 3 times, it's going to be established, it's going to be growing well, and then you know the roots will be able to uptake the fertilizer. So that's when you do that, okay? 787-9523 if you're in the garden area. We can talk about what's going on in your backyard. If you miss any part of the show, you can go to my podcast page on my website, and that's www.she-consulting.com, she-consulting.com. And you can go to the right-hand menu that is up there and just click more, and you will see In Your Backyard Gardening Radio Show. And on the bottom of that page, all my podcasts I'm uploading. I'm a little behind, but I'm going to get there, okay? So you can check out my podcasts and listen to them at any time, or you can send it to your friends and family, too, so that they listen to it, too. Some great interviews on there. We're going to have a great interview today. I have a wonderful guest that we have on here, and her name is Brooke Moffis. She's with the University of Florida Lake County Extension Office, and that is with IFAS, and IFAS stands for Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences. We're going to be talking, two girls talking icky things. We're going to be talking about icky worms. And did you know they're good worms and they're bad worms? We're going to be talking about the bad worms today. All right. So you're going to want to stay tuned. That's going to be Brooke. She's going to be at the bottom of the half hour, and she's going to give us lots of good information about the icky bad worms. And I'll say it right now, nematodes. Okay. But there's a lot you don't know about nematodes, and we'll let you know all about it at the bottom of the half hour. All right, the weather this week, we may be getting rain today in some areas, especially on the East Coast, but then tomorrow we're going to be getting thunderstorms, so we're going to hear a little bit of lightning tomorrow, which I love. Absolutely thrills me to hear lightning and be in a storm, so I am very excited about this. This possibly could give us enough rain that we don't need to water the rest of the week. We always want to be conservative when we put down water. Again, putting down water too much is, not good for the turf, not good for the plants. Overhead watering with humidity causes disease and insect issues, susceptibility. So you don't want to do that. All right. Also, too, if you don't get enough rain, you can always hand water your special plants that, you know, may need a little bit more care this time of the year. A reminder that you want to, subscribe to my newsletter. I have March's newsletter available right now. You can just email me, teresa.watkins@live.com, and just put in it, subscribe to newsletter. Or you can, go to my Facebook page and let me know there too as well. In the March's newsletter, I talk about how to recover your crepe myrtle. If you've been hacking it and committing crepe murder for years and years and years, I'll let you know how you can recover from that. And then also too, you got to look and see if you can find the four-leaf clover on my photograph. So that's kind of interesting too as well. You can go to that. Just Google me, Teresa Watkins newsletter, In Your Backyard, or you can go to my Facebook page, which is also Sustainable Horticultural Environments, or In Your Backyard Gardening Radio page on Facebook. You can check there, and you can subscribe to my newsletter there. Stay tuned. You're going to hear more of In Your Backyard. You're listening in on Real Country AM 790 WLBE. Seeds I sow. Someone warmed them from below till the rain comes tumbling down. Hi, this is Teresa Watkins, host of In Your Backyard Gardening Show, heard Tuesdays at 12 p.m. on My 790 AM. When I need gardening supplies, I stop by Simon Seeds in Leesburg. Simon Seeds Nursery has everything you need to make your yard beautiful and the garden productive, from seeds and plants to organic products and Sunnyland fertilizers. Blondine can help you grow your plants like a pro. Make your landscape the envy of your neighborhood. Visit Simon Seeds at 105 West Magnolia in downtown Leesburg, or call Blondine at 787-4415 and be on the way to the yard you've always dreamed of. Sunnyland Professional and all-natural fertilizers is what Florida lawns and gardens require to keep them healthy, green, and growing. For over a century, Sunnyland has been your hometown team, making fertilizers in Florida specifically for our sandy soil conditions. You can purchase Sunnyland products, Right Green, Professional, and all-natural fertilizers at Ace Hardware, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart. When you're looking for fertilizer for your lawn and garden, put your trust in Sunnyland. Sunnyland, keeping Florida green since 1884. Row by row. And we're back with more of In Your Backyard. If you'd like to give me a call and ask a question regarding your turf, flowers, shrubs, design, whatever you'd like, you can call me at 787-9523. We have Joe on the line from Mount Dora. Good afternoon, Joe. You're on the air with Teresa in Your Backyard.
Hey, Teresa. Thanks for the show. It's great.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for listening.
My question is, I just harvested my turmeric for the first time.
Oh, great.
So I want as much feedback as you can give me. But before you answer that, I just want to know if you recall a gentleman who had a PBS show, maybe in the 90s, Jerry Baker, I think his name
was.
Yes,
I do. I know. Okay. I used to know him.
Okay, well, just say a few words about him, because he's the guy I used to sit at home in Buffalo, New York on Saturday and watch him do his thing in the backyard, and he got me so involved in landscaping. I just think it's worth saying a few words about him.
Well,
I'll take the answer off air.
Okay, thank you so much. Let me ask you about your turmeric. What are you doing with your turmeric?
Oh, right now it's been drying out for about a day and a half, and I went on YouTube and I just wanted to get your thoughts. I definitely want to save, be able to replant a few of them. So just kind of give me a.
Yeah, you can go ahead and save the bottoms, and you want to make sure that they stay moist. Did you pull them all the way up, or did you just cut them?
No, I pulled them out completely because I'm kind of transplant. They're in a pot now, actually, and I want to move the pot. I had it too much sun, I think.
Okay, yeah, they do like shade. They do like shade.
Yeah.
And so it grows well in partial to full shade, and they like a lot of organic material. They produce rhizomes that you can harvest. That's where you're going to get your spice from, okay? And so, you want to make sure that you know where you planted them, because they do go dormant in the wintertime. Now, this year they didn't, because we were really pretty warm, and that's probably why you figured out that it was in the wrong place. But it will die back in the wintertime, but it's going to return in the spring. And so it's just a wonderful plant. I love turmeric. And so not only you can eat the roots, but you can also wrap the leaves like you do bananas and cabbage and grapes. Okay. So it's just a wonderful addition. Now, what did you need to know more about it?
That's pretty much it. I was just going to save some bulbs, and then I'm going to try grating some and making it into a powder. And then one of the YouTubes said to leave it in a pail of sand, and it lasts for a couple of weeks.
Well, I would just, okay, so that's probably possible, but I would probably keep it in the refrigerator more likely because of the humidity, and then the sand. You never know what's in the sand. It depends on what kind of sand.
If you buy sand
from a store that's been sterilized, that's one thing. If you go out to your backyard and get sand, I wouldn't recommend that.
I got you.
Okay. Now, let me just real quick while you're on. Jerry Baker one time came into the yard stop when I was working there, and my mouth dropped open because I knew who he was immediately. And I was so excited because he used to live in this area. He used to live over near the Eustis area. And so I talked to him for a long while. Southern Living was going to do a magazine shoot of his yard, and he was just getting a little few plants to just freshen freshen up the place. And he was just a very nice gentleman. And he always, always loved talking to his audiences. So he was a spokesperson for Kmart. And I thought he was just a very nice man.
That's good to hear, because I don't think people realize in this area what influence he had. I'm around the country I'm talking about, because like I said, I lived in New York, and in the middle of winter, I would turn that on because I couldn't go outside because there was 5 feet of snow in the ground.
Yeah.
And he was in the backyard. He had all these remedies. I mean, I got a total kick out of that.
Well, let me just give you a little heads up on that. The University of Florida, we just don't recommend his remedies, okay? So that's one of the things, is just not, we just
that's
don't.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, no, what he's talking about is, you know, are not recommended by science.
And oh, you mean any of the things, you know?
Any of the things. So I'm just going to the dish detergent. No, we do not recommend that at all.
Oh my God.
Okay. So when you're talking about the dish detergent, let me just say that. Now, you can use a soap mixture, okay, and create. But you're going to have to be careful that it's not antibacterial soap or soap that is grease killing, okay? So that, because, you know, bacteria, the soil has good microbes in it, good bacteria in it, that those products will destroy that good bacteria. So it's important to understand that the products on the shelf are labeled for use in the soil because they're not going to hurt anything. And so when you do homemade recipes, the possibility of you hurting the environment is greater. So, you know, everything on the shelf is safe when used according to the label and only as necessary. So, but I do have Jerry Baker's books on my library, and I fondly recall meeting him when I worked at the Yard Stop. So thank you so much for the memories.
That's good to hear. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much for calling, Joe.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye. And if you have a question, 787-9523, we'd love to have you call in. And if not, you can always go to my website and you can put a question in there. That website is www.she-consulting.com, she-consulting.com, or you can just Google me. I am everywhere on the internet, Teresa Watkins FL or Teresa Watkins and Gardening, and I will come up. Speaking of some of my favorite people and lots of fond memories that I appreciate her every week is Blondine Galbraith. Good afternoon, Blondine. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm good, and you are all over the internet.
I am. And so I just appreciate that independent garden centers like yours have wonderful plants that will grow in the area that they are in. And so that's very important for people to understand.
That's right. Absolutely.
And you bring in some beautiful plants.
We do, and they're all locally grown. Our vegetable plants are grown in Bushnell, for example, and most of our landscaping plants come from, Apopka, Sorrento, Mount Dora area. And so we do try to deal with the local, and I think we have better plants because of that.
Oh, I agree with you.
Anyway, gardening season, although I'm looking at the weather and it looks like we may be in for some cold weather next week.
Cooler? Are you serious?
I'm serious.
How cold?
The almanac had predicted it. It predicted it.
Yeah, we can get a freeze up to March 15th, but
I know.
You know what? I'm going to get Phil, that groundhog, and I'm going to find him. I'm going to hunt him down if we have another freeze before spring gets here.
Yes. Well, you never know. I don't know that we'll have a freeze, but I think we're in for some cooler weather.
Well, I wouldn't mind that. We haven't had a lot of it, and I like wearing sweaters, so I don't mind
the colder weather. So
what kind of vegetables do you have? What kind of seeds do you have?
Well, we have most of our seeds are in. So we actually have conch peas in. We have all the beans. We have corn. We still have some onions. We still have potatoes. Onions, and I mean for the green onion, the scallions, of course. The season is over for the big onions.
Sure.
So we've got all the seeds. Vegetable plant-wise, it's a little bit of a different story. because of the warm weather, the demand has been tremendous, and we basically are out of tomatoes. But we have more coming in this week, most likely on Thursday.
Okay, well, that's not too far away. People can wait a little bit. That's fine.
Yeah, and sometimes people don't understand why we run out. Well, you know, we deal with small growers, and so there is a limited amount of plants available at any one time.
Well,
so,
you know, when I say you need to get to Simon Seeds today, that we mean you need to get there today.
You mean exactly. That's what's happening. Other than that, we've got some really nice house plants right now.
Okay.
Got some beautiful Rex begonias. We've got some ground orchids, for example.
Ooh,
we don't get those too often.
No, the epidendrums or the...
Yes.
Oh, you
we have
do?
Both. Uh-huh.
Oh, those are great. They grow in sun.
They do. We have the purple, and of course we have the orange. Epidendrum.
Oh, mm-hmm. Everybody who's listening, you need to go get those ground orchids. They are amazing. They look good in sun or shade, and I have them in my yard, and they are amazing. They are wonderful.
Yes, they are, and they multiply. And we do have some. Other than that, we have other houseplants, of course. We have fiddle leaf figs and bamboo palms and some beautiful hanging basket ferns. And we have staghorns.
And they all clean the air, so that's good.
Yep. Herbs, right now is a great time for herbs.
Yes,
and
it is.
We have a good selection, except for basil. We don't have basil, and I'm afraid we probably are not going to get basil because of the fungus issue with them.
Yeah, once we start getting into the rain issue and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But do you have any basil seeds that somebody could...
But we have seeds, yeah, and I tell folks, you know, you can plant them. If you isolate them in your yard, chances are you'll be successful.
Sure.
In a nursery situation, it's very difficult to raise them right now. We have some perennials, some beautiful Gerber daisies. We've got some amazing geraniums. We have a grower that does incredible job with geraniums. We've got those. We have some phlox blooming.
Oh, lovely. Now, what kind of phlox is it?
It's a perennial phlox. It comes in red and purple. I don't know the variety. It looks just like the one that you see, you know, growing
on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay, it could be Divericata.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's wonderful.
And we have milkweed also.
Absolutely necessary for all butterfly gardens.
Absolutely. Bulbine, which is great for butterfly also.
Very succulent, too. If you've got a succulent garden, then bulbines will do great.
Or if it's a bed where, you know, you're gone for the summer or whatever. I mean, that's the type of plant that you can plant because it doesn't depend so much on watering.
Exactly.
So we have those.
It lasts a long time. It's very drought tolerant.
It is. And we also have firecracker, which I put in the same category almost, a very drought tolerant plant as well.
Mm-hmm. Good for hummingbirds and butterflies.
And butterflies, exactly. We still have camellias blooming. I think
Excellent.
We're getting toward the end of the season, but some of the late bloomers are still blooming their little heads off. And, of course, azalea season is coming upon us. And
azaleas are blooming everywhere. It's a great opportunity to see the color so you know what you're buying.
Exactly, exactly. And keep in mind, again, the blueberries. I think we probably are out of peach tree, but we still got blueberries. And I believe we still have apple trees.
Oh, excellent.
And persimmon trees. So.
Oh, I love persimmons. That's great. Now, Blondine, real quick, you also have a seed, Bahia seed, that's really good for this time of the year.
Yeah, well, we carry actually a contractor's mix, which is a combination of rye and Bahia, since, as you know, the Bahia is not going to germinate right at the moment.
Right, it takes 6 weeks. Okay, so tell everybody where you're located in downtown Leesburg. We're on a hard break.
We're located right downtown Leesburg on Magnolia Street, one block south of Main, corner of Magnolia and First, next to the police station. We're open from 8 till 5:30, Monday through Friday, 8 till 1 on Saturday, and you can call us at 787-4415.
That's great, Blondine. Thank you so much.
Thank
Everybody's
got
to come and get those epidendrums. Those ground orchids are wonderful. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
If you would like to get plants that are grown here locally, that are beautiful, will survive the heat of the summer, the cold of the winter, you need to go to Simon Seeds Nursery downtown Leesburg. Stay tuned. You're listening to Teresa Watkins in Your Backyard on Real Country AM 790 WLBE.
inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground.
This is Teresa Watkins, host of In Your Backyard, and we're back on Real Country AM 790 WLBE. In Your Backyard, it's a gardening radio show. If you'd like to call in with your gardening questions, I would love to talk to you. You can call 787-9523 if you're in the garden area. This week, February 25th through March 3rd, is National Invasive Species Awareness Week. Now, a few weeks ago, I talked about the conehead termites. They're a new invasive species that we've discovered here in Florida. But there are so many different types of plants and animals that are in our state. In fact, Florida is the state with the highest amount of invasive species. And that's kind of interesting, you know, and it's important to realize what we can do to help protect the state and be on the lookout for these invasive species like Brazilian pepper and the old world fern, and then also the Cuban frog. There are so many different types of Cuban anoles that we see in our landscapes that weren't here originally, and they're doing, you know, billions of dollars of damage a year. So it's very important to do that. Let's take a phone call. Let's go to Joe, the orange man. Good afternoon. Not Joe. I'm sorry. Sam, the orange man. Good afternoon, Sam. Forgive me, please. I was looking at...
Shame on you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Sam, the orange man. Thank you so much.
You must be thinking about Joey Avocado.
There you go. I am. Do you know, I recommended them the other day there to somebody who wanted to grow avocados. And I said, you need to get Joey's. I said, I know for sure they do well here in Florida.
Well, did you see my text that I sent you?
Yes. They look amazing.
I mean, I can't believe how many of them are on there this year, more than last year.
You know what? And I'm wondering if it's because we had the warm winter, of course, and we didn't have any cold freezes, and so you had many more flowers that were pollinated, or whether it's just been that windy that the avocado just had a really good pollination period there.
I really don't know, but I can tell you what, I'm standing probably 50 yards away from the two trees right now, and they're pure yellow from all the buds.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so now you know my next question is, my stomach's rumbling. It's 12:30. I haven't eaten lunch yet, so, you know, guacamole is one of my favorites. So,
well, you're going to be hungry. You're going to be hungry till the middle of June now, okay?
Well, I know, but I'm just putting in dibs right now, okay? I'm putting dibs on about 10 of those avocados.
Putting in your order ahead of time.
Yes,
right?
I am. Yes, I am. So now, did you fertilize them? What do you do for your avocados?
Four times a year. You know me better than that.
I do. I do. I just want everyone to learn from you, though. And so you fertilize four times a year, and that's every 3 months. And so what do you fertilize with?
666, standard citrus.
Just a standard citrus fertilizer. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, how tall are your trees now? Because we did have to cut them back. What was it, two winters ago?
Okay, no, those are the ones in my front yard. Okay, I'm talking about the ones on my farm out here.
Oh, the ones on your farm. Okay, so how are the ones in your front yard doing then?
Well, they're all coming back up, but I guess it shocked them enough to where, you know, they're not going to fruit again for another 20 years.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's one of the downsides of getting damaged like that through storms.
But the jellies out here right now, 6'12", close to 20 foot tall after 5.5 years.
Wow, how many do you have?
There's two side by side.
That's amazing. And you're going to get as many avocados off of that as you need for the rest of the year.
And by the way, just a reminder, whenever you're ready, I've probably got 15 seeded plants that I need grafted from the Joey's. So whenever you're ready, we'll go ahead and get it done.
Okay, that's great. Okay. I would love to do that. I need to come out there and look at them. So that's pretty cool.
You should. You know, you can walk back here even though I'm not here and everything. There's nobody bother with you, mess with you and everything. So just
okay.
Take a peek.
All right, that sounds great. Well, I'm so glad you called in and let me know. I mean, I can, if you can send me a picture of 50 feet away so I can see all the yellow ones. Did you, that they're turning yellow? I would love that.
Okay, I tell you what I'll do while I'm here. I'll do that, and then I'll shoot you a picture of my hedgerow full of blueberries and everything. They're all white flowers right now.
I know. Mine are, too. That's just amazing. I love the blueberries. And everybody needs to know they're native here in Florida. Not all of the species, all the varieties, but high bush blueberries are native to Florida, and they do very well here.
And one thing that I've never done, and because I haven't had the time, is to trim them back after the season and everything. And this year I happened to trim them, and my God, you wouldn't believe it.
They flushed,
tripled in the amount of blueberries on them.
There you go. See, you know, people are afraid to cut their plants, especially their fruit trees and stuff. And so it's very interesting that, you know, how well they do. And it's important for people to understand, cut them back after they, you harvest the blueberries off of them, and they will just triple in size.
They really do triple in production, and too. But anyway, Tree, it's been good talking with you again.
Thank you, Sam.
I'm going to shoot you some pictures out now.
I would love that. Thank you so much for staying in touch. I appreciate it. So that's Sam, the Orange Man, and a great avocado man, too, as well.
One.
You
Bye.
Too, Sam. Thank you. 787-9523 if you're in the garden area. We are talking about blueberries. We're talking about avocados, Joey Avocados. We are talking about invasive species because I'm waiting for Brooke to call in. So anybody, we'll try and get her to call in. We've placed a call in to her. And so something, she must be needed in some important part of the extension office. So if not, we'll have her on next week. In the University of Florida, found that over the last century and a half, more than 100 non-native amphibians and reptiles have been introduced to the state. So just to get a sense of how bad this is, the roughly 60 species of lizards you see running around in your yard, only 16 of them are native. So it is a big problem, and it gets worse year after year. The USDA and the state of Florida, 30 to 40 different plants and animals and insects come into the state of Florida every year. So it is very much an issue. If you see anything in your yard that doesn't look like it should be there, you know, always give your extension office a call. And that will help, you know, try and locate some of these animals and insects and plants. Now, I did talk to one woman, and she said, but I don't want to cut back my Florida holly. And what she was calling a Florida holly was a Brazilian pepper tree that was full of berries, and it flowers beautifully in her yard. And it's a Brazilian pepper, but it is a invasive. It pushes out our native plants, and it is spread very easily by birds and wildlife. So we should cut them down when they're in our yard. Let's go to Edward. Good afternoon, Edward. You're on the air with Teresa in your backyard.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Edward. How can I help you?
I have an avocado tree myself. It's about 6 years old now.
Uh-huh.
And, well, because we didn't get the frost or the freeze or whatever, it's doing pretty good. But do you have to have male and female in order for them to produce avocados?
Okay, so do you know what variety of avocado it is?
No, ma'am, I don't.
Okay.
I just like the avocado, and I kept the pit.
You kept the pit. Okay, so that just tells me everything. Okay, so you kept the pit, and it's growing. How tall is it right now?
About 22 feet.
It is grafted. It's not grafted. It is on its own. And with that, you're not going to see it really have any kind of fruit or harvest till it's about 10 years old. Okay.
Wow.
So you've got a few more years to go. How often do you fertilize it?
Not that often, really. I've just been using ashes and...
Okay.
Oh, I can't remember.
Why do you use ashes?
Well, ashes just make things greener, but I have put some 20-20-20 liquid fertilizer on.
Okay, so here's what I want you to do. You could either use Sunnyland citrus fertilizer. Okay, that any kind of citrus avocado fertilizer is what you want to do. It has the recommendations on it. Okay, the nitrogen is what greens it up. Okay, nitrogen greens it up. The potash, the ashes does not. You may not be putting enough down. Okay, so you're going to want to fertilize that every 3 months. according to the label of the fertilizer you get. And you're going to have to put down a lot. Okay, I would say you're probably for a 20 foot, is it, did you say 20 foot tall?
Close between 20 and 25.
I'm going to say you're going to need to put down about 5 pounds of fertilizer on it each time.
Wow, how much would that?
Well, I mean, you just get a bag of fertilizer and just sprinkle it around the outside. I don't want you to put it up close to the trunk. Just sprinkle it around the can underneath the canopy of the tree. Okay?
Okay.
That's it. Now, once you start that, you know, you're going to see a little bit more flowering, and that's going to give you a little bit more production. Now, the males and females are on the are on the tree itself, but you got to get the timing right, and it's better to have two trees or more trees, because then you're more apt to get wind pollinated. And so the males and females open up at different time, the flowers on the avocado. So if you have more than two trees, you're more apt to get pollination. Okay, so with that big of a tree, I would kind of think you might want to, unless you have a neighbor that has an avocado tree too. If you do, then that's going to be okay. I think it just needs a little bit more fertilizer, and because it came from the seed pit, you're going to need a little bit more time. You got to be patient.
Oh, I have been. That's quite a long time, but there's no one around this area that I know has an avocado.
You can go. What city are you in?
I'm close to Tavares.
Oh, Tavares, you can go to Simon Seeds in Leesburg, and they will be able to get you an avocado tree. The grafted trees start producing fruit immediately, but it'll be probably about 3 to 4 years before you start getting really good fruit harvest, but you can get some immediately. Now, when I lived in Tavares, we had 3 avocado trees in our backyard, and they were at least 40 feet tall. They were huge, and the big citrus freezes during the 80s took them out. And
wow.
So, yeah. And so, but we grew up, we had the avocado trees in there since we moved in, since 1972. My mother was from Scotland. She didn't know how to eat avocados, didn't even know what they were. And they all fell on the ground. The avocados all fell on the ground every year, and our beagle ate them and got fat. Our beagle ate them, the squirrels ate them, and it wasn't until I turned drinking age that I found out what guacamole was and margaritas, and I said, all those poor avocados got wasted. So they do grow in Tavares, and you will get lots of fruit on them. You just got to buy a grafted one to start off with to get them to produce earlier, or you're just going to have to fertilize a little bit more often and possibly get another tree.
Okay, thanks for the information, and nice chatting with you.
Thank you so much, Edward, for calling in. I certainly do appreciate it. All right,
that was
Edward from Tavares. And yes, you can go grow beautiful avocados in here. I am going to save the nematode interview for Brooke for next week. We're going to talk about one of my most hated subjects, lover grasshoppers, when we come back. Stay tuned. You're listening to In Your Backyard on Real Country AM 790 WLBE.
All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
Hi, this is Teresa Watkins, host of In Your Backyard Gardening Show, heard Tuesdays at 12 p.m. on My 790 AM. When I need gardening supplies, I stop by Simon Seeds in Leesburg. Simon Seeds Nursery has everything you need to make your yard beautiful and the garden productive, from seeds and plants to organic products and Sunnyland fertilizers. Blondine can help you grow your plants like a pro. Make your landscape the envy of your neighborhood. Visit Simon Seeds at 105 West Magnolia in downtown Leesburg, or call Blondine at 787-4415 and be on the way to the yard you've always dreamed of. Sunnyland Professional and All Natural Fertilizers is what Florida lawns and gardens require to keep them healthy, green, and growing. For over a century, Sunnyland has been your hometown team, making fertilizers in Florida specifically for our sandy soil conditions. You can purchase Sunnyland products, Right Green, Professional, and All Natural Fertilizers at Ace Hardware, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart. When you're looking for fertilizer for your lawn and garden, put your trust in Sunnyland. Sunnyland, keeping Florida green since 1884. Row by row. we're back with more of In Your Backyard. Teresa Watkins here. One of my most hated insects or creatures in the garden is the lubber grasshopper, and it's the bane of my existence. They are one of the most destructive pests you can find in your garden. And now that amaryllis are blooming, you're going to see the lubber grasshoppers hatching and just defoliating and eating the amaryllis up like crazy. In fact, those are one of the plants we'll be talking about as being a host plant for them. They are destructive. They're one of the few grasshopper species that occur in such significant numbers that they can cause significant damage to citrus, your vegetable crops, and also ornamental landscape plants. And what I mean by that is that you could say goodnight to one of your favorite plants in your yard, and the next day it won't be there because the lubber grasshoppers will have hatched and have eaten it all up. So it's called, the scientific name is Romelia microptera, and that's referring to the short rings, the microptera. It means short wings because these grasshoppers are incapable of flying. The word lubber is derived from an old English word called lobra, L-O-B-R-E, which means lazy or clumsy. And this is a great description of this slow-moving grasshopper. You literally can step on them and kill them. And I recommend that as often as you can. So these colorful insects, they're beautiful. I've had people tell me, oh, they're so beautiful. Oh, I don't want to kill them. And then a week later, I hear screams coming from the same yard. And it's somebody who found that these grasshoppers ate all their plants. So don't be fooled by their beauty. They are beautiful, but they're very destructive. They can get to be at least 3.5 inches long. That is big. I mean, literally, you can hear them crunch when you drive over them on the road. All right. And I recommend that, too, as much as possible. You get points if you get them in the road. And so when they hatch, they're very tiny. They hatch in groups of about 30 to 50. And so when you see more than that, there's multiple nests that are hatching. And so when you see them, they're black and they're very tiny. This is when you want to kill them. They will start getting larger and larger every week. And as they get larger, you'll see a yellow or an orange stripe on the side. Okay. Yes, this is a time to kill them because when they are mature and they're yellow and they're very beautiful, the only two things that can kill them are bricks. Okay, you literally have to crush them. I cut them in half with my pruners. My Scotty Sheila, she used to just crunch them. And then she used to roll in them after she crunched them. I think kind of like she was absorbing the spirit of the warrior she just killed. And so these grasshoppers, they will climb. They don't fly, but they will climb, and they will. You will find them everywhere. So as they are progressing, as they're getting mature, and you're starting to see them get bigger and bigger, during the summertime, when you see one, you will know that there's another one. They travel in pairs, the male and the female. Okay, so that's when you look for the other one. So you want to kill them because in the summertime, they are going to be laying the eggs that are going to hatch next spring. All right, so you can find them starting in March. This is the time to look for them. And what kind of plants do they eat? 100 different varieties of plants from 38 plant families. They will eat shrubs, herbs, broadleaf weeds, and grasses. For your vegetables, they love peas, lettuce, kale, beans, and cabbage. But they will also eat eggplants, tomatoes, peppers, celery, okra, fennel, and sweet corn, although they don't like them. Flowers, they like amaryllis, Amazon lilies, crinums, those fleshy leaves, okay, fleshy leaves in the moister soils. And then they also like oleander, butterfly weed, canna lilies, Mexican petunias, and lantana. Okay, so you can spray them with any kind of leaf chewing insecticides for leaf chewing creatures. Okay, you can spray them with 7 and any insecticide for leaf chewing caterpillars. Just remember, you don't want to spray it too much on butterfly plants, okay? Because that's also going to be where grasshoppers, the butterfly larvae, are going to be. So you don't want to do that. Just be very careful about it. If you see them in big groups, you can stomp on them. That's a really easy non-pesticide way to get rid of them. IPM, that's good. But always, when they're adults, please get rid of them. Lubber grasshoppers, they're one of my three, you know, things that I think of as not having souls, so you don't have to have bad karma when you kill them. And you definitely will be saving your neighbors and your neighborhood from a lot of defoliation, a lot of crying, and a lot of replacing your plants. Now, if your plants get eaten, they will come back. So go ahead and just clip off the leaves, let them flush back out again, and you know, it's going to look like a bad haircut for a little while. Okay. Also, they may just eat some holes into your leaves and just move on. So don't be fooled to think those are not lubber grasshoppers. Sometimes they are. When there's plenty to eat or they're full and they're not babies anymore, then they're going to eat less and less. But I'm just telling you, you got to get them before they lay eggs for next year. 787-9523 if you're in the garden area. Let me remind you that I am going to be this Saturday speaking about roses in the garden, Saturday, March 2nd, at the Sweetwater Oaks Garden Club. This is the 14th annual garden fair. It's going to be at the Protegrity Plaza, 260 Wakiva Springs Road in Longwood. There's going to be more than 100 vendors there. There's going to be lots of great gardening speakers, Robert Bowden, my favorite Tom McCubbin, and then also Nate Grafhoff and Bob Hodeling, Jim Duby, and Mark Miller are going to be there. There's going to be hands-on activities for the children, a food court, and if you like floral design, there's even going to be demonstrations on that. I will be speaking at 1 o'clock. Come up and say hi, and I would love to see you. Also, to remember my garden tour that's going to Buffalo, New York. This is a Garden Walk Buffalo. It is filling up very nicely. I have more than half of the group filled up. It's going to be a very small group. 70,000 people tour these gardens one weekend in July. Well, I'm taking the group up the weekend before. So we are not going to have to rub elbows and just kind of try and get people out of the way of our photographs. We're going to get to meet the homeowners, the ones who actually grow these beautiful gardens, and you're going to see tropical plants. This is a three-day event that's happening July 18th through the 21st. I would love for you to go. We're staying in the Buffalo Westin, a first-class hotel. It's just going to be amazing. All the meals, the flight up is included, all the transportation, and you even get to meet garden authors, Sally Jean Cunningham and Jim Charlier, who wrote the book Buffalo Style Gardens. Sally is going to be one of our tour guides, and we're going to get to see the actual Harry Potter garden of Jim Charlier. It is going to be amazing. When I went last year, I was in a daze for 3 weeks. I want you to go with me. We're going to all be plant geeks and geek out and just ooh and aah at all these gardens. We're going to have dinner overlooking Niagara Falls. It's going to be a great trip. You can go to my Facebook page and you can message me. You can go to my website and look for the Garden Tour Buffalo Tour and get a hold of me there. This is the time that you want to go ahead and register for it. I know it's going to be full by the end of March. Thank you very much for everybody who called in today. Joe, Edward, Sam, the orange man, and great avocado grower. Thank you for calling in and bringing us up to date on your speed on what's growing in your garden. And also, I would like to say Brooke will probably be here next week. I'm hoping so. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Tracy. Remember, water's not only your right, it's your responsibility. Take care, everybody. See you next week.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling.